everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 1, and after a long hiatus, welcome back, Jeffrey Webster and Jake Cranston.
Guys, what's happening?
Wow.
And I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Jason Webster. It's been a while, guys.
Yeah. Like you said, it has been a while.
Yeah, January 19th was the last podcast we did.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, and of course, that was kind of wrapping up another bitter season of sorts. You know, they made the playoffs, got to the divisional round again, and sucked a home game, you know, which really is kind of depressing. They did not win. But, they're still a better team than we got to see for two decades. There's no doubt.
Or on the right track. And I think that's the right attitude to have right now.
Right. For sure. Absolutely. It's like I've always said, man, enjoy the fucking ride because you'd never know where it's going to end or when.
Yeah, it's tough to kind of like sit here and complain. I mean, it's a bummer. Don't get me wrong. But when you look at the last 17 seasons of just no playoffs and being mediocre, and then you look at us the last 5 years, I mean, you can't really compare the two whatsoever. No,
not even close.
Yeah, I think everybody knows the danger of setting the bar high. You know,
you
get less excited every time it happens. But I definitely think we need to appreciate it while we have it.
And the funny thing is, it's really nice to be able to say we've got a coach going into his sixth season, I believe. And that's got to be the longest tenured coach we've had since Marv Levy.
Well, he's the second, you know, winningest coach in Bills history already.
Right.
So
I think,
I mean, what's that say?
It's hard to get, you feel like you're nitpicking, right? Like,
yeah, a little
bit. I mean, you want success in the playoffs. You would love a Super Bowl appearance minimally. And then of course a win, but at the same time, they're doing well. I mean, they're doing real well.
Yeah, we're in the off season now, obviously. Free agent just kind of passed through, and now we're starting to look into the draft. But, I mean, let's start it off and talk about probably the biggest free agent acquisition that we all wanted to happen, obviously, was bringing back Jordan Poyer, man. For sure. I mean, that was I honestly thought it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, same so, here. I mean, the way he talked about taxes in New York and, you know, it really seemed like a long shot to able to bring him back. And I looked at the numbers, them bringing him back, and it wasn't bad. I think his contract's like averages like $6.5 million a year, maybe somewhere there, six and a half, something like that. It's about $13 million. But when you look at like Micah Hyde, he's at like $9 million. And I'm thinking Poyer's not going to come back for less money than that, right? But
The free agent market must have just really not of been what he thought it was going to be.
Right. And what he said is the places that were willing to give him the money were not places he wanted to play football.
Because he's got a legacy, man. He's a person who should be a Pro Bowler every year. And what teams are he going to go to that it's going to happen?
Right. And, you know, I mean, after 6 years, you've got Micah Hyde's here. So you've got friends here. You know, you've got family here now. You've set up a home in Western New York, and I think that's probably a big part of it. And he probably, according to him, what he said is, my wife told me, where are you going to be happy? Where you go where Jordan Poyer is going to be happy. And he chose Buffalo, man, which is, again, a feather in a cap of the community and the city and in the team as a whole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For the fan base. I mean,
yeah, for the fan base.
You look back at guys that were free agents and they always bounced out of here.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's, I mean, obviously we lost Tremaine Edmonds to the Bears and he, good for him, he got paid.
Oh, we were never going to pay him anything close to that.
Yeah, you can't pay a guy that type of money.
I think he's the highest paid middle linebacker in the league right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's like $72 million for 4 years.
Yeah, he had like 50, like
18 million a year for a middle linebacker.
And he got like 50 million guaranteed too, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so good for him. He got paid.
Absolutely, man. Love the dude. I hope he does well.
Yeah.
He will do well.
But it's just great to see like Jordan Poyer. I just thought from like the same shit you said, Jeff, where he was just kind of like, well, you know, the taxes here, the weather, it's just not, I don't know.
Right.
And it just, you know, it just kind of seemed like it was his like, all right, you know, farewell season.
Right.
And the fact that he's like, hey, listen, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to retire. Yeah. It says a lot to, you know, what this team and this franchise has done over the course of the last 5-6 years. So it's just cool to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's played more in Buffalo than any other place he ever played. So,
yeah,
you know, him and Micah Hyde both. And Sean McDermott pointed out the fact that I don't know if he did or did not carry the captain letter, but he's like the backbone of that defense, man. He's yep. very vocal. He helps guys get in position. He knows the calls, the plays, positioning, intelligent. You know, I mean, he's just, even at 31, he's gonna play, man. He's a baller. So, yep. you know, Tremaine Edmonds, I think, called the plays for the defense, but that opens up a whole nother conversation, be it free agent or draft.
Right.
That's a pretty significant hole that they need to address somewhere. So for that'll sure, be yeah. interesting to see how they handle that. And Brandon Bean, in my opinion, has always had a plan. You know, he's always stayed on top of shit like that. So I'm sure in his own mind, he's got a couple of options.
Yeah, they're not going to go into the season with their head no. up their ass and think like, no. oh, dude, what do we do at middle linebacker? I mean,
yeah, Terrell Dodson. No, yeah, that's not going to be an answer, I don't believe.
I can't see it being an answer either. I mean, I bet you they knew Trey was going to leave. It was pretty much a foregone for sure. conclusion. So they got a plan.
Yep.
But our first signing that we pulled out that wasn't our own
a
guy
new player, yeah.
was the guard from Dallas, Connor McGovern. Mm-hmm. What kind of contract did he end up getting, Jeff?
I don't even remember.
Was
the
it like
numbers,
a 4 years?
But it was real friendly.
Yeah, I'm
not even sure it was
me.
That long. To be honest with you.
It was a good signing.
It was a really good signing because he's still fairly young. I think he's like 27, maybe in that range.
Yep.
I think he just finished up a rookie contract. He's been a starter. I mean, again, there's been a couple of times where the Bills have signed like a real veteran, like Roger Saffold, for example.
Yes.
But the guy was already pushing 34. You know, he's getting around the mid-30 point. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
And that became a problem. Star Latulele had a good contract. He paid a lot of money to come here, but he, towards the end of his career,
yeah.
you could see the fall off. You know, yeah.
What you're getting with Connor is like you're getting a guy that, like you said, is a starter,
right?
That is a productive starter, young. You know, he's going to be able to bring a better element to this offensive line, I think, than, like you said, like Saffold was. Kind of like, well, let's see what he can do. Yeah. You know, Questenberry, same type of thing. He was yep. more of like a depth guy. This guy is more of a, you know, he's
more of a starter.
He's yeah. a Big Ten guy. He came from Nebraska, I believe.
Yeah.
You know how I like Big Ten football guys.
Yeah, I know. But, you really do.
But he's just a big brute, a guy that can move people. He seems like PFF had him fairly high ranked. Yes.
Right.
So there's a lot of good upside for him, and I think that was a great start to their free agency for the
right.
Bills this
and
season.
And I think
so.
They brought Questenberry back, which, again, is a depth move.
It's a great depth move.
Yeah.
Great depth
you know?
Move. Yeah.
And he's got experience with the team. And plus, I think McGovern, they said, has some flexibility for position.
Yeah.
I think he might be a starting left guard ordinarily, but he can move around the line a little bit if he needs to.
Right. And I guess Ryan Bates was supposed to be better at the left side, or was he left guard or right guard?
Right guard. I think
so,
he was right.
So he was supposed. So he played left. Better left guard.
Yeah.
Previously. So yep. so if he's still going to be in the mix, that's his better position. So that's kind of
right.
good
right.
to know too. So.
And then Ryan Bates has the flexibility too that he can play center.
Yeah.
Something happens with Mitch Morse. You know, going into free agency, a lot of places were talking about the Bills' needs. Obviously, one was safety because they didn't know about Jordan Poyer. Mm-hmm. And the other one was the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah, they addressed
two guards that. And a center. So now Brandon Bean always talks about it. What we want to do is make sure we don't have too great a need at any one position because then it's best player available.
Yeah.
And they're getting there, but the one gap they have is at linebacker.
Yeah.
Now, do you know who was the other guard they also signed?
The guy from the Rams?
Yeah. Yeah. Also,
yeah, that would be David Edwards to a one-year deal. So he was another fairly highly rated guard for the Rams. He was another Big Ten guy that played in, I believe he played for Wisconsin.
Yep, started all the games in the Super Bowl the year they won.
Yep, so you're getting a guy that has experience, that's been deep through the playoffs into the Super Bowl. Obviously, he's played at a high level with the team that was a high-level type team. So, again, that's a great signing right there. That's another guy that can come in and play.
Relatively young, too. I don't think he's like...
He's like 20, 27.
Somewhere in that same range.
Yep.
And they're talking about what might be a little different this year is a lot of times those one-year contracts are kind of like prove-it deals.
Yes.
Where these appear to be more of let's see how you fit in our scheme, then we'll talk a longer contract.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's similar, but at the same time, it's a little bit different.
Yep.
So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, I love both of those signings. Like you said, these are guys that were both very productive. They carry a pretty high recommendation from Pro Football Focus.
Yep.
So at least they rated them quite high, you know. And like you said, experience, productivity, all the things you want to stabilize your offensive line. Fine. No Pro Bowlers or Deion Dawkins, you know.
Yeah.
The exception, of course. But you're not bringing in $11, $12, $13 million guys to fill a couple of spots on your offensive line, cash strapping you somewhere else, but you're still getting quality players that can play on a regular basis, you know, game in, game out.
Agreed. Now, the one guy that I want to banter with you a little bit about, because I didn't feel very great about it, but I'm starting to come around a little bit better, is Deonte Hardy. So signing him from the Saints. Now I get it. The guy can fly.
He's got some wheels.
But the contract we signed him to was a head scratcher. You know?
In what way?
Well, I mean, we're paying him like his base salary, wasn't it supposed to be? It was supposed to be $9 million, correct? Over 2 years.
That might be. It might be.
No, I just...
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about his contract.
That's what I thought I saw. If that's the case, if that's correct, I mean, to me anyway, that's paying a guy way too much money for
a fourth unproven receiver, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he's unproven. The thing is he has speed behind him. I totally get it. But when I first saw the signing, I'm like, we basically just paid someone to fill in McKenzie's spot, and he... We don't know if he's any better than McKenzie right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is true. Now, the only thing is he does have, like, as a rookie, I guess he, I think he got a Pro Bowl bid as a returner.
Returner, yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, he actually played really good. So, you know, he's got wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like with you.
I just, I'm not saying I'm mad about it. I'm just, it's kind of a head scratcher to me because I feel I know they want to get guys on this team with speed. They want to kind of match what this league is going to, right?
Right.
There's a lot of guys out there that can kill you with speed. We've seen it with, you know, Tyreek Hill plenty of times.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying this is the Bills' version of Tyreek Hill, but...
No, not necessarily.
But I just, you know, I like the fact that we can get a guy in the slot that can make plays with his leg. You know, he's fast, but
right.
I just... There's nothing known about him yet. When I was looking at his stats, he doesn't have a lot. I mean, I know he was injured last year. I get it. But I didn't understand the signing, especially for the money right off the bat. I thought it was a little bit odd.
So SpotTrack has his cap hit at 3.75, which I think was about where McKenzie was. And like you said, he's unproven.
Yeah,
you know, McKenzie, at least you know what you got.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's a little weird.
It's again, I'm not sitting here. I'm saying I'm mad about the signing because like if the guy can come into a game and stretch the field and make plays, or, you know, if the guy can come in here and, you know, catch a couple bomb touchdowns, or like you said, he's a highly rated, was a Pro Bowler kick returner I mean, whatever, if he can bring impact to this team, I'm all for it.
Right.
I just would have thought maybe we would have tried to grab someone with a little more clout to him.
Sure.
In the wide receiver position than this right. guy right off the bat. But, I'm not true. Knocking him. I just.
Right. It's weird. Well, and out of all the signings, that's the one that probably you can kind of look at and go, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like the receiver from Miami, Sherfield. You know, less than $2 million cap hit.
Right.
You know, and probably an opportunity for him to even make the team, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how that works, but right. He's good for depth. You know, we don't have a ton of receivers anymore. If you take Brown and Beasley and McKenzie out of the picture, you got Shakir, Davis, and Diggs, right? I mean, like.
Right.
Maybe Kumaro or something hanging in the wings. But,
yeah,
you don't have much for depth. So you bring in a bunch of guys, and they've done it with the offensive line. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But I like that signing. I mean, again, it's a guy with some experience. You don't know what you got, but it's less than $2 million, you know?
Yep.
Now, to move on to a very impressive signing, I think, Damian Harris.
Yeah, that one was – so at first when I saw that one come through – I was kind of like, but right, then, right. But then I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, oh shit, he fucking torched us like three times,
3 100-yard games. The 4 times we had to face that dude.
Yeah, and especially the win game, the game.
Oh yeah,
that fucking where
nobody could throw the ball.
Yeah, he wasn't. He ran like 160 yards or some shit.
Yep.
So I'm saying a ton. I'm like, all right, like, and again, I'm not. You get him 1 year, $1.7 million.
Yeah,
that's a steal, right. Because Singletary went to the Texans and they paid him $3.75 million.
Right,
and I'd take Damien. I mean, I love Singletary. Trust me,
Same here.
I love the guy, but what Damien Harris can bring for his style, for the money we sign him for,
right?
I can't complain about that one.
No,
you got to
no.
wonder what goes into a deal like that. You know, like,
well, I think he was a starter for New England. And then Ramondre Stevenson comes in, and he's a backup.
But you're going from 2021 getting paid good money being a starter to, you know, here we are getting paid jack shit on the Bills.
Well, I think he's looking at a couple of things. A, the opportunity to go deep into the playoffs. It doesn't look like the Patriots are close
right.
to that. Then you've got the opportunity. Your competition currently sits at a kick returner or punt returner, Nyheim Hines. And James Cook, a rookie, he's a second-year player.
Mm-hmm.
So if he runs into a snag, a little fumbling issue, something like that, all of a sudden he's starting for what could be a Super Bowl champion.
Right.
So I think that plays a part. It's at least worth the risk of a low paycheck for 1 year. And if he tears it up, again, the Bills could be...
Made a great move.
Yeah.
Plus,
could be working or playing.
Dude, you gotta love snagging a dude from the freaking division rival, man.
Yep,
it's about time. They're always taking our guys.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. It just seems like our guys are always going somewhere else, and now it's nice to see it happen here.
It is, and the fact that he says it, like, I mean, obviously he signed with us, but the fact that he's like, when he plays against us, he was like, well, I knew that if I'm playing against the Bills, that organization and this team is gonna come out. And they're gonna be on it, and I have to bring my A game. He's like, so now coming over and playing for this organization, he's like, I hope that just brings the best out in me every single game.
Yeah, well, he even mentioned the Mafia, man.
I know.
Like he's saying, you play in Buffalo, the energy is the place is like fucking electric.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now to me, that's kind of a slap at the Patriots fans to a certain extent. Like, apparently they're not electric.
Dude, Judon said that. He's been on Good Morning Football.
No shit.
And he said the same thing. He was praising the Bills Mafia. He's like, y'all crazy. He's like, he's like, your fan base is above any fan base I've ever been
Well, and I would imagine the Patriots stadium's gotten a little bit quiet the past few years, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny thing is, that's funny, because I could see that as a player, like, watching how they treat Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, you know.
Wanting to be loved like that again.
Yeah. Like, you're Damian Harris, you're going, man, like, I'll never pay for a drink in Buffalo, ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, especially.
I'll probably never have to pay for a dinner.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, they freaking, Like, we love our team, man. We absolutely love our team.
Yeah, we embrace all those guys, man.
We may not be the loudest stadium in the league. I know we're in the top bunch, but yeah, absolutely. We fucking, we'd do anything for these guys.
Yep.
Yeah, we love our team.
Yeah, no, I love that signing. And then speaking of bringing another division rival over, when we got Trent Sherfield from the wide receiver from the Dolphins.
Yeah, we just need somebody from the Jets now.
I know. I know, right?
Maybe only they had someone worth taking.
Yeah. But I think he was a 1 year deal as well. So
same, I think the same as Damian Harris.
You could see the trend a little bit. Yeah. You know, we're trying to get these guys in. And these guys want to come in, it seems like, and kind of play on that prove it deal, because I can't say it enough. The coolest part about being a fan of this team right now is to see these guys on the outside, how much they respect our organization.
Yeah.
And Sherfield saying the same thing, man. He wanted to come play for us because he said, I don't even need to know anything about Sean McDermott. I can already tell what kind of team this is just by the way they conduct themselves on the field when we play them twice a year. And he's like, said the same thing as Damian Harris. He's like, you have to bring it every time you play the Bills.
Right.
And he's like, that's why he wanted to play here. And they're, that's awesome, man.
They're guys that their teams wanted to re-sign.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the teams walked away. You know, I think New England would have been thrilled to have Damian Harris back, especially on a lesser deal.
Yeah.
You know, Sherfield, same thing.
Well, he said, I don't know if you watched his interview with Brown and Tasker, but he said, I had seven teams on my list, and the Bills were at the top.
Top.
I didn't hear from the Bills for a few weeks and started talking to some other teams. Bills called, boom. He's like, went right back to the Bills. He's like, that was my number one spot.
Nice.
It's funny how some of these guys, the Bills will come out and say, actually, we kind of looked at them last year.
Yeah.
Or the previous year or during the draft. Or we've had our eyes on these guys for reasons.
Right.
You know? And then they become available. It's an opportunity. We got to look at it, you know? And Brandon Bean says, man, we look at freaking everything.
You got
We have to.
Yeah.
So you could say we're in play for every free agent in the league because we got, that's our job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still wonder about DeAndre Hopkins.
I feel like there's something there.
I do too.
I just don't know if the trigger is going to be pulled on it or not.
I don't either.
I think Odell Beckham is probably out of the picture, but I think
there's some things that don't mesh well with the Bills. Some of the things he's done, some of the things he said. I remember he got like some kind of an argument on that airplane that one time. There's just some things and nothing away from his talent or whatever, but just those little nagging things that the Bills are going, dude, that's the last thing we fucking want.
Well,
is some kind of crazy distraction. We don't want Antonio Brown.
Don't want any of that. McDermott, I mean, he already proved when he came into this team, getting rid of Marcel, getting rid of Sammy, he wanted a certain type of blue collar type guys here.
Yep. Hard-working, athletic dudes that they can teach to improve their position.
Yeah.
And they've done that.
He doesn't want mouthy guys here.
Well, I think if we wanted OBJ, we would have gotten him a while ago, you know?
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too. But I'm at the point where I think the Bills have to try to make a move and have that 1-2 punch as a wide receiver duo. They got to do it.
I'm all over that, dude.
I mean, it's just Miami did it. Like, all these teams are doing it around us, you know? And it's just like you got to kind of keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, right?
Right.
And if Rodgers is going to the Jets,
he does.
I know.
I'm like, come on.
It's definitely stressful, but like part of it, even more than just the idea that you have to like, you know, follow the crowd, is it very much looked like they had Diggs figured out last year. You know what I mean? Like, if he's going to be covered all the time, we have to do something about
it. Well, I think they took a chance because Gabe Davis had a tough year, man. Like, I think his catch percentage was around 50% or roughly in that neighborhood. He struggled greatly.
For me personally, in this podcast, it was always hard for me because, like, you guys were, like, huge Gabe Davis fans.
Absolutely.
And I tried to be. But, like, if you just look historically at his catch percentage, it's been like that forever. It's been shitty. Right. Like,
yeah, it'll get better, and he'll have a he'll blow up like that playoff game where he's
yeah, and I know
four
he's,
touchdowns.
I know he was such
or whatever.
Such a performer when it mattered, you know, and it felt good in the playoffs and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I think we just deserve better. You know what I mean?
It's so funny because he's like Dawson Knox to a certain extent for a while. They could make those circus type catches, and then the ball would hit him in the hands and it'd fall to the ground. Like, yep. What the frick?
Well, you know it was, I mean? We had, as a team, we had the worst drop rate in the entire NFL yeah. last year. And it's just yeah. like, dude, you can't.
And it's mostly fucking McKenzie and Gabe and Davis.
Gabe Davis, yeah, a little bit of Knox. Was. But yeah, it's just, we need a 1-2 punch to stay up with these top tier teams.
I'm with
moving
you,
forward. I mean, it's just
all over that shit. There's
you gotta
no
get
doubt.
This is the year where I really, really, really want the Bills to just load up with offensive weapons for Josh.
Round one, you think?
I hope so. That's what I'm thinking.
I think you almost have to.
You have to. Because, like, let's be honest. Like, if you look at the last few years, for instance, KC in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, they couldn't get to Pat Mahomes. They couldn't.
Right.
The Eagles couldn't be the Eagles against Pat Mahomes. They had the best offense in the NFL. They won the Super Bowl. I'm honestly thinking at this point, it doesn't matter how good your defense is. If your offense is top level, you know,
right.
Then you're going to be better than that. So if the Bills can have a top 15 defense, great. Let's have a top 2 offense, top 3 offense. Let's have that firepower.
Well, like you said.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you said, you have to keep up with the Joneses, man. You do. Like, if you look in our own division now, Miami.
Loaded.
You know, when they got Hill and Waddle. And I don't know if you saw that, but I guess, was it Tyreek Hill was, like, literally pissed that fucking
Sherfield came over? Yeah.
Oh, he was hot.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you know, he's a really talented dude.
Yeah.
He's a good player. I can't believe we lost
him
in free
agency.
Well,
and I'm sure he can see, you know, the middle of that, which is if you take away the talent around me, I'm not going to be able to shine either, dude. I need to have somebody to pull the heat off me once in a while.
Yeah, and then Alan Lazard goes to the Jets.
Yep.
You know, they just drafted, what's his name?
Wilson or Watson or what the hell?
Yeah, Wilson last year, the wide receiver from Ohio State.
Right.
I know they traded Elijah Moore, but Now apparently they're interested in Odell Beckham. It's like, geez, man.
I heard that.
So it's just like all these teams are trying to load up. And
I heard, and I don't know if it's true, it's just a rumor, that Aaron Rodgers, part of his deal to go to the Jets was Lazard and OBJ.
OBJ, yeah.
Because they're really such good friends.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's holding that trade up right now is that 13th overall pick. The Jets don't want to get rid of that 13th overall pick. And it's just like, if you're Green Bay, you got to be like, listen,
dude,
man, 13th overall pick this year for Aaron Rodgers and whatever else they're doing. That's the deal. Like, we're giving you a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right. But then didn't the GM just like last couple of days come out and say it doesn't necessarily not necessarily going to take a first round pick? I think it's bullshit.
I think that's BS.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what's holding it up, dude. The Jets. Yeah. You're trying to tell me if you're the Jets right now, and think about the Jets comparable to the Bills organization when we were shitty, right?
Right.
Like, if you had the chance to get rid of your 13th overall pick for a Hall of Fame quarterback, you better fucking do it, man. Like,
right.
You're the Jets, and he's Aaron Rodgers.
If Breece Hall is healthy, too?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have a pretty stacked team. Their defense is really good. Yeah,
I don't want Rodgers to go there.
I don't either.
Because I'd just rather not have the... I mean, would it be fun to have Rodgers? It'll be a little bit cool just to have that competitive, like, because that's gonna that's gonna elevate Josh.
Oh yeah,
you know, and then him and Rodgers, I guess, are pretty decent friends, which is cool, which is cool as well. I don't hate Rodgers like I hated Brady, but you know,
but still at the same time, he says some wacky shit.
Well, he's getting douchier
by the
year.
Out there. Yeah,
he's out there for sure, dude.
Yeah, he definitely is out there.
But if you're the Jets, man, like, what's the holdup?
Yeah,
dude?
I mean, honestly,
give him your 13th pick, man. Like, what are you gonna do with the 13th pick?
Right.
Well, like, there's only so many quarterbacks that can do what he can do. You know, like five. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
I know.
Well, what are you holding out for?
He's a year removed from, you know, two consecutive MVPs.
Yeah. Now, the shitty thing for the Jets is, what are you going to get out of him? 2 years, maybe?
Right.
You know? So, you can get 2 years out of him if he falters or if it just flops in their face, kind of like the Brett Favre thing did.
Yeah.
Then you're back to
I could see that going square that way one, too, man. Dude.
Yeah.
Well, that's not even thinking about the fact that he could get injured, you know.
Yeah, just, he could get injured.
Issues to come with age.
He could just not play great. You know, he's going to a completely new team. I mean, that's still a factor, you know. Even though you have the same offense coordinator and a couple of the same guys on offense, still a whole different scenario, man. You're playing for the New York Jets. That media is brutal, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, if that falls into the Jets' face where, you know, maybe they don't make the playoffs, or maybe they do, but they just don't go to the Super Bowl like they're supposed to, then Aaron Rodgers retires after year one or year two. Jets are left back in the dump again, dude.
Right.
Because, I mean, they're going to give up so many assets for him.
Yeah, and now it's Robert Saleh. I get it. But they haven't always drafted well when it comes to quarterbacks as a franchise.
I mean,
as bad as the Bills have been.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can't say anything either. But, yeah, I get it, man. They've gone through some guys, you know.
Tell me, actually, subject change, what do you think about the new safety from the Rams?
I love it. And
Taylor Rapp?
Bean said that was their replacement for Poe if he wasn't coming back. So, I mean, dude, he's...
Obviously, they weren't sure either.
Right. And he's a second-round pick.
I think he was 61st overall or something.
Played in the Super Bowl, started the last 2 years, very highly rated in pass coverage and run defense.
Yep.
I think it's smart for him to come in because I was talking to somebody about, my buddy, and he's like, how did we get him why would he come here for a year to be a backup? And I go, listen, because he knows... that he was supposed to come in and start for this team, but Poe came back. He's going to get 1 year under his belt to learn this system, get paid whatever he needs to get paid to learn under Poe and Hyde, get this system under his belt. Next year, we'll re-sign him. He'll be a starter for our team.
Well, that's what they talked about is that, again, one of these players, it's only a one-year deal. The intent is, if it goes well,
yes,
he will be a long-term. He's 25.
Yeah, dude,
there's guys coming out of college that are 23 or 24.
It's like a lot of these signings are, you know, we didn't get that Von Miller splash this year, right?
Right.
And everybody's like wanting that because it happened. And it's like, oh, give me another one of those. But you got to look at all these signings are like under the radar, very meticulous, very smart signings.
Yeah, I got to tell you. So I heard Matty Glab and Chris Brown talking today, and they were talking about why the Bills won't pick up Hopkins. And part of it was because Chris Brown says to the effect of, well, look what happens last year. You go out and you get Von Miller, pay a ton of money. He gets injured at Thanksgiving and he's gone for the rest of the year.
Right.
So they know how that didn't pay off for him, so they're probably not going to do something similar. And I'm like, well, that's not what I heard from the team because, A, the way he helped a lot of our young players, beyond the fact I think he had 7 or 8 sacks in the freaking half a season he got to play.
Yep.
You know, he's still playing at an extremely high level. He can't wait to play again. He's tagging along with Brandon Bean at the combine and shit playing, you know, assistant GM or whatever, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
To me, I've never heard of anything like that. An actual player being a part of conversations with young guys. He's been through it, you know?
Well,
and I think he's going to be a great GM. I really do. He's such a good dude.
I agree.
And I kind of wonder if sometimes people don't get confused with the fact that what disappoints us as fans isn't exactly what would disappoint the team. I think the fans were more disappointed with Von Miller than the team was.
As far as the injury goes?
Before that, like his performance wasn't quite that, you know, bombastic, you know, number one guy that we all expected. He still made important plays, but like, you know, at least me personally, I thought he would have more of an impact, you know, be a game changer.
But before he could even
get warmed up to the team, you know, he went out, and that sucks, but like he still was a good asset, like you said.
Yep.
Yeah, good asset. And he's doing recruiting under the Absolutely. Radar that we don't understand. Like I saw a quote from Levante David. Now he didn't sign with us, but someone asked him on a podcast or something, you know, if he's like, yeah, the Bills showed interest. There wasn't really a lot of talk between me and the Bills, but I knew they called my agent and he's like, they asked him about Von Miller, and he goes, well, I'll tell you what. He goes, if Von Miller reached out to me, then this might be a whole new story. You know what I mean? No and kidding. It's like, ah.
Well, he was basically the ghost of Christmas future for OBJ. He was like, come on.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Come to the Bills.
Yep. But
well, it's so funny because I just, in listening to that, I had the exact opposite take. Like, even though he got injured, and even though he couldn't play out the end of the year, and even though the Bills struggled on defense, especially at the line, the young guys didn't do as well as maybe everybody thought they would, I'll never look at it as a bad signing. He's so Mr. Optimistic, good energy guy. Like, I mean, he just, he brings so much to the entire team. Like,
good leader, you know?
Absolutely. Good exactly. Leader. That's the perfect word. He is a leader.
Yep.
Guys listen to him and they respect him, and he's accomplished a ton. And I think it's just fantastic. He chose the Buffalo Bills.
It's and there's a lot of pressure on this team. You have to perform on and off the field for us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Hopefully that pressure subsides a little bit this year. I think so. I think it was really wound up last year. You know, Super Bowl favorites, this and that. And you know, I don't know if the pressure, just that alone, kind of got to him. Obviously,
you have to think so.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of other things that happened, we all know, throughout the season. But going into this season, I would like to kind of fly under the radar a little bit, and I feel like we're getting that already because every day I'm watching, you know, Good Morning Football or some of these different football shows, and they're talking about Miami and Aaron Rodgers to the Jets and blah blah blah.
And Cincinnati and Chiefs,
and then you got this whole Lamar Jackson saga now, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? Somebody said he might end up going to the Patriots, dude.
Stop it.
I'm serious.
I know, I saw it too, why the hell would he want to do that?
Right, I don't know.
Did you see the how to make the worst quarterback thing, the meme that was on the Bills Mafia?
No.
So it's like, it's got all the pieces of these different quarterbacks for like the head and the chest and whatnot, and then the very bottom right corner, it's got Lamar's agent.
Oh, no. That is hilarious.
Yeah, it's messed up.
If Lamar went to the Pats, it would literally be like him going from Baltimore to Baltimore because the Pats just lost their best receiver. They have nobody else on offense to throw the ball to.
Right.
What are you going to do? Go to the Patriots and run the same offense that you did before and get paid to be the same guy you were in Baltimore?
Right. And probably spend 6 games a year on the bench because you got hurt.
Like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to get traded, be smart about it and make them trade you to a team that has weapons so you can be who you want to be. Not
right. Or at least is building
right
to that point. Like, it seems like New England is going back to, we're going to be a team that runs the ball and stops the run.
Yeah.
That's who we are. Because we have Mac Jones, and we can't throw the ball all over the field. So we're just going to power the ball down your throat, and we're going to beat you that way.
Right.
Keep the scores around 10-7, 10-3, and win that way. You know what I mean? That's what it seems like. Well, they're not going
to... Yeah, and to finish your point, Jake, I think we definitely are flying under the radar a little bit, especially in our division right now, and I'm okay with that.
I seen a
clip like last night or this morning or something, and they were doing projections and whether or not the team will go over their win projection or under. And whoever it was, whatever analyst it was, the Bills were at 10.5. They went with the under.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, that's definitely under the radar.
Absolutely.
Last year, it would have been over easily. And I mean, just the fact that it's at 10.5 isn't that ridiculous. I'm sure most teams are probably that are on the upper echelon are around there. Maybe Kansas City's at 12 or...
Well, and you can tell how under the radar we are because you're not hearing all these people talking about how shitty Josh Allen is.
Right.
Like,
right.
We're not relevant enough for them to pick on anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. I mean, everybody's just all over still Miami and all their talent and then now Rodgers and what they're going to have and blah, blah, blah. And oh my God, with that defense, can you imagine?
Yeah.
They're going to be Super Bowl favorites. It's like, dude.
Well, and when Tom Brady goes to Miami too.
Yeah. Okay. Bring him resurrection.
Somebody said that. Jeez. Well, that was where they got penalized. Miami got freaking penalized. They lost their first round pick this year. Because of that.
Yeah.
Because of that whole deal tampering with Tom Brady. So they're saying, that's why he retired. He's actually going to play
for Miami. If he ends up in Miami, it'll be on a yacht.
Yeah, probably.
That's about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. That would be ridiculous.
Wouldn't it be?
I mean, people just, like, I'm good, man. Fly us under the radar, but don't forget, like, here. Don't forget who our QB is, man. Don't forget, like,
absolutely, this team, dude.
Like, it won't be long, man. Like, three games in, it'll be all over again.
Yeah. It's gonna roll around the same.
I don't even care. Even if they get Aaron Rodgers, I still think the Bills are the best team in the AFC.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, I mean, would the Jets be better?
Absolutely.
But are they going to be that much better where it's like, uh-oh, I don't know, the Bills might finish third or fourth in the division?
Well, everybody's like, talking about the Jets beat the Bills last year, so.
I get it. I don't know. It's
Well, and the more realistic conversation to have is, are we going to lose one more divisional game than we did last year? Like, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it's like, yes, I think we could. Maybe even two. I don't know if that means that, you know, we're in trouble. But
Right. No, we're going to be a playoff team no matter what every year unless we lose one, you know, number 17.
Yep.
Unless we lose him.
Yep.
Yeah, we should be in the playoffs every year or close to it. Like, even if Josh Allen's there and we lose Diggs, or God only knows what could happen.
You know, I got a question for you guys.
Competitive.
Are they going to change the jersey names for Josh Allen and Kyle Allen? Or is this going to be Allen and Allen? Or are they going to put a K in front of Kyle Allen?
J. Allen, K. Allen?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, maybe. I think that's what they should do.
But that's just, that's,
I mean,
funny
they have
though,
different
right?
numbers. Yeah. So.
They do. But I'm just curious if they would, you know what I mean? If they would, change that.
The question is, do you think a camera is ever going to look at Kyle Allen's jersey once this whole year?
Oh,
you maybe on the bench.
You want to play a cool joke on, like, somebody like like Junior, like, dude, we bought you an Allen jersey, and it's a Kyle Allen jersey.
Yeah, so is it Kyle Allen? Is he number 11? Like, wouldn't that be fantastic? Like, 17, 11. You can't really tell, like, from weird angles and shit.
He should just do 71 to show his inferiority, I think.
That's hilarious.
Just to be subservient to the real Allen.
Yeah, that would be fucking awesome. Yeah.
I'm not mad at that signing, though. I mean, I thought that was solid. I mean, you're getting a fairly solid. Dude, he threw for over 3,000 yards when he played for Carolina.
And they're friends, too, right? Like,
yes.
I think they are.
They trade together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's good.
But
I like it.
I thought it was a cool signing for a backup. You needed a younger, you know, more like version of Josh, right?
Right.
You know?
For sure.
And then, it could be a Cinderella story where they both end up being really good and they're on, like, Wester commercials together someday.
Yeah.
Mr. Allen.
Yeah, that would be funny.
That's great. No, it's been a fairly solid, you know, free agent offseason for the Bills. I hope there's still a little bit more in the mix. I'm sure there's got to be a little bit. I don't know if, like you said, Jeff, if DeAndre Hopkins will still be in play or not.
I don't know.
But, you know, looking forward to the draft. I mean, hopefully we can load up on some offensive talent there. I would love to see a wide receiver, but we'll see. We'll see what happens, and we'll obviously be getting into the draft coming up here through the next few episodes
for sure.
of our podcast. So
yeah,
we had a lot to
end of April, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a lot to catch up on here. We haven't done one since the end of January.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's been good, though. I mean, it's really fun to do it again. It's been a while. And
yeah, we had our little off season as well, you know.
Yeah.
Do we want to take the last couple minutes and talk about your off season, Jake?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Your struggles?
Tell them what you did.
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, I tore my, it's called a distal tendon in my right bicep because I have a hobby called bowling now, you know, and I freaking tore my bicep bowling, which is nice. Ridiculous.
It's a very old man thing to do for someone who's not an old man.
It is. I mean, I'm 41 and I've played sports my entire life. And the worst injury I've ever had, guys, was I broke my hand because I punched a wall.
Oh, okay.
That was retarded.
That's a dangerous sport.
You know, that was dumb. But the worst, honestly, the worst injury I've ever had playing a sport was rolling my ankle. And I've done that probably three or four times, really rolling it bad. Mm-hmm. But that was it, dude. And I'm in a, you know, I'm old guys bowling league, basically.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I tear my bicep bowling. So, like, talk about some crappy luck there.
Yeah, you know? But you should be able to throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When it's the heels.
like a rubber tendon.
Yeah, right.
We just have to teleport back to the 90s when that was possible.
Yeah. But, yeah.
$6 million man bullshit.
No doubt. It's a crappy injury. It sucks. I knew I tore it when I did it because I've never felt anything rip in my body before, but I felt my tendon rip in my arm when I did it, and I knew right away I tore it. So Yeah, I tore it like the end of January, maybe like the 28th in that area. And I had surgery March 2nd. So I'm almost in my first month of recovery. Got this big old brace on. Look up Brock Purdy. He's wearing the same brace I am.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, That's awesome. His UCL.
Really?
It's pretty fancy looking, I got to say.
Isn't it?
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, that's cool. It's
pretty weird.
It looks like some sort of mountain climbing gear.
People keep saying that it's like robotic looking.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. I'm like, you know, it's not horrible. When I first woke up out of the surgery, I was going to ask you guys a question, actually. Have you, either of you, well, I'm sure you have, obviously, been under anesthesia, right?
Oh, yeah,
for sure. You have, too? So that was my first time ever being in any type of surgery, being knocked out like that. And the one funny thing is I get really seasick or plane sick, motion sickness.
Right.
So the anesthesiist guy's like, so I see you get motion sickness. I'm like, yeah. He's like really bad? Like, if you look at a boat rocking, do you get sick? I'm like, no, man. I'm like, if I'm on a boat and it's rocking, I'm like, I can't do it. I have to take Dramamine. So they actually gave me Dramamine.
Oh, no shit.
Because apparently the anesthesia makes you
feel like that.
Motion sickness.
Yeah.
So then they gave me something else, too, with it to help with it. But I thought that was weird. I'm like, really? Yeah, that's crazy.
That is weird.
But going under an anesthesia is really weird, man, because, you know, there's nothing between you going out and waking up.
Right.
It's almost like a light switch. It's like doom, doom. It's like you're out, then you're back out.
Yep.
And it was super weird because when I woke up, I'm like, I knew what obviously happened, but I'm like, what in the fuck?
Dude, when I did my back, they gave me Demerol, and it was an injection into an IV.
Yeah.
So every 4 hours, I had no fucking clue what happened. I would be sitting in or laying in this hospital bed, talking to family members. It would be, okay, time for your shot. They give me a shot. What felt like 2 seconds later, those people are gone and they've been replaced with somebody else.
It's like you had amnesia.
And I'm like, what the fuck? What happened to my brother? And he's like, oh, they had to get going. I'm like, I was right in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, well, that was like 2 hours ago, dude.
Yeah. Well, you having like your back surgery, that's even more insane. Like for me, like I was telling you guys earlier, is I didn't know how much was really involved with mine, but they had to go in and drill through my bone and pull the tendon through and then cap it off with a button to hold it.
It's so Charlie Brown.
So
it's so weird.
Yeah.
It sounds just fucking like messed up. Like, how are we going to do this? Well, just tie it around his fucking bone and knot it. You know, like what the hell?
Well, the crazy part about it, if I would have waited any longer, there might not have been enough tendon to bring back down.
Yeah,
so they would have had to graft me into another tendon. Like they would have had to connect my tendon to another tendon.
Right.
Just to be able to get use of it. And I was like, please don't let that be the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So at least it was good to go. But yeah, it's the whole experience, man, is just off the wall. It's just like just something you just never really see crazy, happening, you know?
Dude. Crazy.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, what are you gonna do?
Your bad luck behind us and the Bills' bad luck behind us and look forward to the future, huh?
Yeah, man.
I got to get this thing rolling for barbecue season, fellas.
There you go.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. For sure.
Jesus.
All right, guys.
All right, tell them how to listen to the podcast, Jay.
Yeah, well, you can find us on social media at ETD Buffalo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are no longer on anchor.fm because that doesn't exist anymore. So now it's Spotify for podcast or something. I don't even know yet. But yeah, go look for us there or Apple or Google or wherever you like to get your podcasts.
Yeah, we'll get that all situated soon enough. That kind of came upon us like out of the blue.
Yeah, within the last couple of weeks, man.
We were on our break. We hadn't been looking, and all of a sudden, hey, website's different.
Different. But yeah, so we're starting back up, guys. We're going to get into the draft coming up here. So that's going to be another exciting thing to talk about. It's always fun talking about draft. So we'll get into that and see what else comes along. So
absolutely. Yep.
All right, thanks, everybody, for listening. Just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here? Right now, go Bills.
Go Bills.